1 Corinthians 14 says in verse 8, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" If a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? I think it's so crucial that pastors, particularly pastors, give a certain sound, clarity, crystal clear clarity, good definition, not legalism at all, but good definition, clear cut definition. Because an uncertainty of sound leads to confusion. Certainty of sound is a requirement by God. In Ezekiel 33, watchmen blow trumpets. And if the trumpet isn't blown properly, then it's the watchman's responsibility. If the trumpet is blown properly and people do not respond, it's their own responsibility. But watchmen blow trumpets. And there has to be a certainty of sound. In other words, there was one type of sound that meant one thing, and there was another type of sound that meant something else. And the sound that the people received from the trumpet was their communication, was the message. It had to be clear. There was a specific sound for battle that had to be clear. We have to be careful. I have to be careful as a pastor. We have to be careful as a church that there's always a clarity of sound, that there's not ambiguity, that we're not light on doctrine, that we're not light on convictions, that we're not light on the heart of God, that we're not light on grace. Likewise, that we're not light when it perhaps from time to time there's necessarily a correction perhaps or something of that nature. We can't be light on those things. I was thinking this week about why Pastor Stevens was such an amazing pastor. Because he was a master builder. If there was an apostle today, and apostles, there are certain ones who say that apostles don't exist today, but that's not actually biblical. Nowhere does it say that an apostle was done away with. What usually happens is certain conservative scholars, I think, react at the misuse of certain gifts and things that God had given. And because it's misused, they go to the other extreme and they say, well, it doesn't exist. When in fact, neither is correct. You don't misuse it, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Now, I've heard the definitions, I know what they are, you had to see Jesus face to face, yes, understand that, and you had to be recognized by the other apostles as an apostle, I understand that. But the meaning of the word apostle is not something like that. The meaning of the word apostle is master builder. And there most definitely are master builders today. Pastor Stevens was a master builder. Jack Hiles was a master builder. Chuck Smith, Charles Stanley, Jerry Falwell, D.J. Kennedy. Many of these men, and many more, these men were master builders. They were the definition of an apostle. It's not trying to take on some sort of an office in some ecclesiastical hierarchy. I think maybe, perhaps, because of the ecclesiastical use of this, perhaps maybe this is why some scholars, I don't know would react at that, to say, well, it doesn't exist at all. Well, it does exist. None of the gifts have left. I mean, Paul writes about them to the New Testament church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He gives some to be apostles, some to be pastor teachers. He gives gifts like tongues and prophecy, although we don't want to abuse those things. And it's true that sometimes they are abused. But nevertheless, the fact that somebody abuses something doesn't nullify its validity when it's done correctly. And so we have to be careful that these things are properly addressed and defined and not denied. But regardless, I was thinking about what made Pastor Stephen such an amazing pastor. And it's the fact that he didn't hold back. He trusted God and he didn't hold back. Nothing withheld. He had absolutely nothing in his life withheld. He would trust God for anything. And he did. And the stuff that he had accomplished was unbelievable. The fruit was there to back it. The fruit was there to back it. I mean, that man was more fruitful than anybody I've ever known. He knew the heart of God. And he had the heart of God. And he preached with the heart of God. But he preached with concise, distinct clarity. There was no ambiguity and no vagueness when he preached. I mean, you knew what was what from that man's preaching. And when he preached grace, there was no compromising grace. When he preached mercy, there was no compromising mercy. When he preached the finished work, there was no compromising the finished work. Likewise, there was no compromising convictions. When he preached convictions, he was crystal clear. And he could cut. Sometimes when he would preach, you know, a fiery message, you'd get very convicted. And it was cutting. But the Word of God is a sword that separates the joints from the marrow and the soul and the spirit. We want it to separate the soul and the spirit because we don't want our soul controlling our spirit. And so he would preach it with such clarity and precision and very often very dogmatic. Not out of drama or anything like that, or demagoguery or any foolishness like that, but simply because it is that clear in the Word of God and he was communicating God's Word. I remember when he had his massive heart attack and I asked God, Lord, what are we going to do if we lose Pastor? And he said, you're going to take his message and you're going to live in it. And you know why that was possible? Because it was clear. There was absolute, uncompromising clarity in everything that he preached. You know why? Nothing withheld. There was no self-preservation. I think it's easy for a pulpit to enter into self-preservation. An extreme example of that is in 1989 when there was a big San Francisco earthquake and the preachers were saying, this is not because of homosexuality. God is not judging us because of homosexuality. Those men were preaching. Nobody even said it was because of homosexuality. Nobody even brought that up. They brought that up themselves. But I find it interesting that there was such conviction and yet they were fighting it. They were preaching against it because there was self-preservation. In Amos, around chapter 8 or chapter 9, there was an interesting incident with Amos. Amos was prophesying against Israel. and he was prophesying that Israel would be essentially taken into captivity. It was not a happy prophecy. And God was telling Israel, you're in trouble and I've had it, essentially. And there was a prophet, I think it was in Bethel, where they had an idol. And he was the priest to the idol. And he told Amos, you go back to Judah where you came from. And you take your prophecies with you. Because I'm the prophet here and Israel's going to be just fine the way they are. And you just take it back with you. You see, that was a man who was operating in self-preservation. What I found interesting was what Amos said to him. He said to him, because you said this, essentially, God is very angry with you and you're going to die. And it was, you know, this shock. I mean, Amos had nothing withheld. It wasn't popular prophecy, but it was nothing withheld. Amos said it the way God told it to him. And he withheld nothing. Pastor Stevens was like that. He withheld nothing. No self-preservation. And all our pastors are like this. That man didn't care if his preaching meant he would have two people because everybody else got mad at him. He cared about one thing and one thing only. What is God saying now? And that's what he was going to preach. And he was unabashed in it. He was like, nothing withheld, nothing reserved. He just let it go. Just sent all of it out there. He just let it all go out. The clarity in his messages. You learned how to think under his pulpit. And I think that is so important, especially today in the world that we're living in now, that the importance of a pulpit teaching with precise clarity, with nothing withheld. He was not afraid of any people. I mean, he could be hurt. I remember one time he was saying that he had one time considered leaving the pastorate, and that's because he was so hurt by people's responses. And God corrected him very gently, but God corrected him. And God said to him, okay, now you never think that way again. And it's like, wow. You know, clarity. And he didn't. He had it so clear. Where there's a lack of clarity is where people get in trouble. You know, what is it? Proverbs 21:18. Where there's a lack of clarity, where there's a lack of categories of doctrine, clear-cut teaching, people get in trouble. People perish. And so, you know, how, like, as a pastor, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to draw near to God and to hear from Him. To be an available vessel. Pastor was one time asked, how do you minister to all these people? You know, there are thousands of people, and then, like, you'd get missionaries from all over the world coming back, and they all want to meet him, and, you know, he'd stay up till crazy hours of the night every time he went somewhere because everybody wanted counsel from him. And somebody asked him, how do you minister to all these people? And he said, I don't. He said, I minister to God. And that's the only person I minister to. I minister to the Savior. I don't minister to all these people. But at the same time, he was spending all his time with all these people. But you see, the clarity that he had in his own thinking You know, where it was clear cut. I have 500 people who want to talk to me at the same time. I'm going to be up for the next 3 nights. How am I going to do this? How am I going to minister? I'm not going to minister to them. I'm going to minister to God. And then everything else for him was just a natural progression of ministering to God. But the clarity is so important. I think in our country, that's one of the problems we're having in Christianity in America, is that there's an increasing lack of clarity. Yielding convictions. Yielding categories of doctrine. Yielding precision. I swear, if I ever get to the point where I'm not precise or I start yielding, if I don't get right, I should leave the pulpit. I mean, we don't have a big church numerically, but I think we have quality in what we have. You know? And I think that quality needs to remain or God's not in it. When you start seeing yielding and wavering on important convictions, when you start seeing hedging, either certain doctrines or anything, certain convictions, when there starts to be a consideration of how will people respond to what I'm saying, when that becomes a part of the focus, then that is where we're losing ground. Purity is imperative in the message, because otherwise God isn't in the message. God wasn't soft on anything. He was gentle, but He wasn't soft. You know what I mean? He was clear. Jesus made it. When Jesus preached, it was perfectly clear what He was saying. And He wasn't concerned if He was going to lose the 5,000. Jesus got the message from the Father: unless you drink My blood and eat My flesh, you have no part in Me. He didn't hedge it, thinking to Himself, but what if the 5,000 leave? What about the 5,000? He didn't hedge it when it came to the 12. He didn't hedge it with Peter, who arguably may have been the closest one to Him. Maybe John was, I don't know. But arguably Peter was the closest, and He didn't hedge it with him either. Peter comes up with this sentimentality toward Jesus' natural being, and he says, "Get behind Me, Satan." I wonder how many of today's disciples would be very upset at that and be seriously offended. Can you imagine that? You're doing a rap and somebody gets fleshy with you or sentimental toward the flesh or something like that. "Get behind Me, Satan. You don't love the things. You don't desire the things of God. You desire the things of this world." Whew. I don't think Jesus would have a big church today. I think He'd have a church of 12. I honestly do. Because the Bible says that in these days, in these times, people will not tolerate sound doctrine. And they'll heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they heap up to themselves teachers according to the desires of their emotions, according to their desires of the old man, according to natural preferences, things like that. People who will tell me what I want to hear. Jesus didn't preach like that. Jesus didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. Jesus told you what the Father was saying. Well, in Revelation 2 and 3, The pastor is to say what the Spirit speaks to the churches. And if the pastor doesn't repeat what the Spirit says to the churches, then the Spirit's not talking to the pastor. And so, as a pastor, it's imperative for any pastor to be crystal clear. So there is no ambiguity. So there is clear-cut certainty of sound. And then, he is a watchman. But if a pastor hesitates with the certainty of sound, then he's heaping on himself a load of trouble. Pastor Stevens knew how to have a certain sound. He really did. He knew the certainty of the sound. And if people didn't like it, you know what he would do? He'd preach it again. He would do it. He'd preach it again. Because why? Because we all, as sheep, have gone astray. And he was a good shepherd. He was a good under-shepherd to the chief shepherd. He was good. He was a man of God. I'll never forget. I asked God, tell me, this was again after his heart attack. I asked him, tell me about Pastor. And he brought me to the end of 2 Samuel, where it says that the Word of God, this is David looking at it, reflecting on his own life, he said, the Word of God was on my lips. And that's what God gave me regarding Pastor Stevens, that the Word of God was on his lips. I was like, what an amazing way for God to talk about a man. You know? Like, God, tell me something about this man. My word is on his lips. That's pretty amazing. You know why? Nothing withheld. No self-preservation, no regard. He had regard for capacity. He had no regard for flesh. Neither did the Savior. He had no regard for flesh. And it showed in his life. And it showed in the fruit of what he had developed. That's why people were so incredibly drawn to him. Because he had a personal cross. That's why he wasn't worried about what was going to happen. He had a personal cross. And he didn't mind introducing the cross to everybody else. He had nothing withheld. There was no compromise of the word there. And there was absolute clarity. So you came out of his messages and you knew exactly what he had just said. A lot of our pastors learned how to do that from him. God won't honor anything else than that. Why would God honor if I won't honor him? Like, why would God honor if I start soft pedaling it? You know, or any pastor. But really any pastor or any believer for that matter. Why would God honor if we start soft pedaling it? And I'm not saying we're unkind or harsh or anything of that sort. But we keep the message pure. We keep it pure. And we don't hold back. It's like Pastor Stevens. He loved people. But he had no sympathy for the flesh. None whatsoever. But then again, he didn't have sympathy for the flesh because God doesn't. What does God do with the flesh? He introduces the flesh to the cross. That's what God does with the flesh. He doesn't soft pedal the flesh. Let's make our word clear, right? As a church, let's make our word clear. Our doctrine clear. With no ambiguity. Let's make our representation of grace clear and pure. And our representation of the finished work, let's make it clear and pure. Let's make our representation of the heart of God clear and pure, and of who He is, clear and pure. And also, let's make our conviction clear and pure. Because if the pulpit doesn't teach it that way, well, without a vision, without without clear instruction in categories of doctrine, people perish. What does it mean when people perish? When they separate themselves from the way of God unto their own ways, that's perishing. Just like Adam and Eve perished. They separated themselves from the ways of God unto their own ways. What causes perishing? Self-consciousness. What, for example, what is the energizing force of lust patterns? Self-consciousness. What is the energizing force of insecurities or fears? Self-consciousness. What is the energizing force of anger or anxiety or emotional disturbances and any host of things? What's the energizing force? It's self-consciousness. That is the bottom line. It's self-consciousness. It's that self-consciousness that needs the cross, that needs the clarity. You see, where there is ambiguity, there is room for the flesh. So, the way we've been taught by the master teacher, the master preacher, the master builder, was no ambiguity. Because ambiguity preserves the flesh. And so we teach it clear cut. And if you don't, if you're a pastor and you don't preach it clear cut, it's your responsibility if people fail. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he says to them this, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. He said, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The pastor is going to present the people in his congregation, the people he's pastoring, to Christ. And according to Ezekiel 33's watchman principle, if that pastor preaches with less than clarity and there's ambiguity, that uncertainty of sound in 1 Corinthians 14:8, if there is an uncertainty of sound, then it's the pastor's responsibility before God when people fail. If the pastor preaches it with clarity, with no ambiguity, with certainty of sound, crystal clear, At that point, if people fail, it's their own fault. And it's their responsibility before God. What concerns me about our country is that there seems to be that lack of certainty of sound. And, you know, people are wishy-washy. And it's like, it's getting to the point where in some cases it's like a flesh playground. And it's not good. Because every time that happens, you've got major downfalls. We have to be certain as a church that we never water down the message. That we received an imparted message from the Holy Spirit through the pastor that we had. He taught us how to preach. He taught us how to carry doctrine. He taught us how to live in the Word. He taught us these things. And now those of us who were taught that way, it's our responsibility to teach others that way. And we need to carry that out. And we do carry that out. We continue that. And that's why sometimes you may have very edifying messages, and other times you may have messages that are like, your socks have been fried. Good. On both counts, good. Because let the edification be clear, and let the conviction be clear. Good. Because I need that, you need that, every believer needs that. Because otherwise, all we as sheep have gone astray. Otherwise, there's a lack of clarity. There's a lack of that vision, that precise knowledge, that precise teaching of doctrine that causes people to perish. And they increasingly live in self-consciousness. And I don't mean self-consciousness as in that kind of shy kind of self-consciousness. I mean the self-consciousness that leads me to focus on things like lust patterns. Wants, whatever the want happens to be. Those are usually based in the lust patterns. But that's what happens. And people walk away from doctrine, people walk away from conviction, people walk away from clarity, people walk away from godliness, and their godliness takes on a very vague kind of a flavor. And it's not good. At that point, people are starting to perish. Clear-cut definition is important. We have to maintain a certain sound. We were given that. In this ministry, we were given that. We pastors have been taught that. And we need to carry it through. Why? Because then it's imparted to you. And you're taught that. And then your responsibility is to carry it through also. It can be sustained as long as it exists. If it should stop existing, it won't be sustained. You understand what I mean when I say that? And so, like, if I, for example, I can only talk about me, I can't talk about other pulpits, nor would I want to. But if in our pulpit I start yielding convictions, or soft-pedaling convictions, then, or I start soft-pedaling doctrines, categories of doctrines, and I start preaching a more kind of like a devotional message rather than a clear-cut message, then the message that was imparted to me from Pastor Stevens will end. And so we have to be careful. And our pastors, I think, are very good that way. Our pastors are very faithful that way in our church. We have good pastors in our church. And I think that they do a very good job carrying the message, carrying the torch. Without a vision, people perish. It's instruction. Vision is instruction. And if we make the instruction unclear, then we do people a disservice. That's it. Amen.